Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from His Son Jesus Christ, and from the Holy Spirit who comes to us today. Whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that scripture which forms the basis for our patience and comfort today comes from Leviticus chapters 18 and 19. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. According to the doings of the land of Egypt where you dwelt, you shall not do. And according to the doings of the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you, you shall not do, nor shall you walk in their ordinances. You shall observe my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which, if a man does, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. And you shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. You shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not cheat your neighbor, nor rob him. The wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you all night until morning. You shall not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness, you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor, and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. We pray, O Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, dear fellow redeemed, the Lord never changes. It's the meaning of His name. That word repeated over 8 times in our text, Lord, in all capital letters, comes from the Hebrew name Jehovah. And that name Jehovah emphasizes that God never changes. It literally means He is. Not that He was or will be, but that He is. Eternal. The Lord never changes. That same Lord who visited Moses 3,500 years ago, who came to the people of Israel in the person of Jesus Christ, and who speaks to us today, is the same. He says in Micah, "I am the Lord, I do not change." Jesus speaks as Lord God in our gospel text when he addresses the lawyer in Luke 10, saying, "Do this and you will live." He's speaking in an unchangeable truth. The man that Jesus addresses is a lawyer. He's an expert in the law of Israel, which is the words we're reading in our text, the law of Moses. He poses a question designed to test Jesus when he says, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus' response is to go directly to the law of Moses and say, "What is written?" The lawyer knows, and in a sense, he responds correctly when he says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." It's an unchanging truth that the man who performs perfect love for God and perfect love for his neighbor will gain eternal life. He will live. On the flip side, anything less means death. Verse 5, "You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. I am the Lord." It is an unchangeable truth that if a man does these things, he will live. It is both unchangeable and unachievable. If a man does it, that is, just with the lawyer, as with the lawyer, we are that man who needs to hear these words. We need to hear the law in its impartial condemnation. Because the law concerns itself only with one thing, the righteousness which avails before God by your works, by what you do. We need to hear this because, just like the lawyer, our flesh is busy rationalizing, who is my neighbor? Think about why the lawyer is asking this question. We read that he wants to justify himself. What other reason would he have for needing to justify himself but that he knew he was not righteous? He was not justified in his actions. The lawyer quotes that Old Testament phrase we find in verse 18, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." In the original Hebrew, that word translated neighbor could mean a wide variety of things. Anything from family member to friend to business associate. It emphasizes a relationship based on some sort of geographical proximity or relationship based on ethnics. The lawyer is trying to stretch these words or constrain them, however you look at it. When God speaks to the nation of Israel, he's really speaking in two ways. First of all, he addresses the people who are filled with both believers and unbelievers. And he needs to govern them by civil laws to both threaten and promise reward if they keep his ways, at least in an outward sense. It's the same way that the government addresses us today with the law, which says if you do these things, you will be rewarded or you will live. But a second way the Lord truly wants to address us is as his people, in a spiritual sense. And now the lawyer's trying to stretch this statement, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself," or constrain it to some proximity. Think of the ways that we do this. Our flesh doesn't want the law to speak of love in a boundless sense, as if there are some who we love and there's some who we don't. I'll love my family, at least most of the time. I'll love my friends, as long as they're being nice to me. I'll love those who are in need, as long as I feel on some level they deserve that help. Our flesh evaluates our life and asks, "Who is my neighbor?" If a man does these things, he shall live by them. The fact is that when we consider the fact that we need to be told who to love and how to love, that should tell us something in and of itself. When we see the person who has wrongfully treated us, injured us financially or emotionally, who does things their own way, who doesn't appreciate what you have done for them, who has squandered your money or theirs, squandered their health. When we see them on the side of the road, when we see them stumble, when we see them get what they have coming, do we pass by? Do we leave our gleanings, as it says in verse 10, the overabundance of what we've been given? Are we willing to part with our precious time to listen when we just don't want to? And so Jesus says, from the heart proceeds evil thoughts. And John writes, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life. And that's because love has no proximity. It has no bounds. In the words of Jesus, you shall love your enemies. You shall bless those who curse you. The law speaks not just to our actions, but also to our heart. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The Lord is unchangeable. If a man did these things, he would live. And it's unchangeable also that none of us have done these things and therefore deserve to die. So who has done it? There is one. There is one who has done these things that we've been describing in terms of a boundless love that never changes. The same Lord who said, do this, who declared all these statutes and ordinances down to the finest detail and said it even needed to be perfect in your heart, put himself under those ordinances. Notice how Jesus poses a question back to the lawyer and turns it around. When he says, which one do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? Jesus doesn't think who is and isn't my neighbor. Jesus thinks, who can I be a neighbor to? His neighbors are his enemies, those who would not have his way, those who would not have him do it for them. It's you and it's me. Lying on the side of the road, left for dead, lost, abused by sin, unable to pick ourselves up because our flesh keeps beating us down. The Lord was unchanging in his service under the law, unchanging in his perfect obedience and boundless love for you. God did not have to tell Jesus how to love or who to love. Jesus did not deal falsely. He did not cheat. He did not deal partially with some, favoring others more. And yet his work was not done there. After doing all these things and deserving to live, Jesus died. Being the one person that could truly say, I did these things, I deserve to live, he took himself to the cross for our sins. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus loved his enemies by being the sacrifice for your sins. When God said, do this and you shall live, Jesus did it. And he does live. It's the reason why he rose from the dead, because he did everything perfectly. Fulfilled all that was asked, including dying for your sins, the greatest act of love God could ever do. This redemption will never change. Back to the Lord's name, capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah. He is unchanging in the forgiveness which he has won and given you in Christ Jesus. So now that we believe these things, we're granted life, new life, by faith in Christ. And what shall we do with it? Now that there's no more burden on us, constraint for who you have to love or how you have to love, what's left? Love is all that's really left. Love is all that's left in Christ. It's the freedom to do these things because you love God and because you love your neighbor. He says in verse 3, according to the doings of the land of Egypt where you dwelt, you shall not do, and according to the doings of the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you, you shall not do. There's a comparison made in Scripture between the slavery that the Israelites had in the land of Egypt to the slavery we experience because of sin, because of the law. which constrains us, forces us to do what we don't want to do, to go back to those constraints, to go back to the demands, to go back to having to be told what to do, is to go back to Egypt. Because we could never live up to those expectations. It's unchangeable that God has delivered you from sin. It's unchangeable that God has overthrown the world you live in to work everything for your good. It's what it means to be free spiritually. For the love of Christ constrains us, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, as if we're held captive to Christ, slaves to Him now in the freedom to love. We don't need to be told who or how. I am the Lord who works in you both to will and to do of my good pleasure. So, we leave our gleanings behind. We don't take the second helping, the extra boat, the extra car, the cushion in our budget or in our bank account or in our 401k. We leave our gleanings behind in the offerings we give to the church. By supporting our congregation or our pastor or the CLC, by reaching out to members in needs, we're leaving our gleanings behind. These feed strangers with the life-giving power of the gospel. They give eternal life through the work of the gospel. We live in this love. As it says, you are all one in Christ Jesus. So now it comes to our fellowship, where there's no more partiality. As it says in our text, you shall not be a talebearer to go among your people. You shall not put a stumbling block before the blind. You shall not cheat your neighbor. It would make no sense if we are all one to go about gossiping. It would make no sense to ignore one another's sins either. If we're all one, we all bear the same burden, the same sins, the same struggles. As Paul writes, bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. So in our outreach to the poor, to the deaf, to the blind, to the spiritually lost, to those who you might suppose have nothing to offer you or this church in return, we share the truth of Jesus. We live. Therefore, we do these things. What does God say? I am the Lord who never changes. Therefore, you should fear me in repentance because you have not done these things. I am the Lord who never changes. Therefore, you should fear me in faith, remembering that I have given my Son for you. And have forgiven your sins for His sake. You have died in Christ, and you now live and do these things. Go and do likewise. Amen.